You are listening to a Sunday sermon from St. Thomas Episcopal Church in Bellevue, Washington. We are a community that seeks God's presence, serves Christ and others, and grows together in faith. Welcome to our podcast.
The following sermon was preached on the 22nd Sunday after Pentecost, November 10th, 2019, by the Reverend Steve Best, Associate for Couples and Family Life at St. Thomas.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Some Sadducees, those who say there is no resurrection, came to Jesus and asked him a question. Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, leaving a wife but no children, the man shall marry the widow and raise up children for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first married and died childless. Then the second and third married her. And so in the same way, all seven died childless. Finally, the woman also died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will the woman be? For the seven had married her. Jesus said to them, those who belong to this age marry and are given in marriage. But those who are considered worthy of a place in that age and in the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. Indeed, they cannot die anymore, because they are like angels and are children of God, being children of the resurrection. And the fact that the dead are raised, Moses himself showed in the story about the bush, where he speaks of the Lord as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now he is God not of the dead, but of the living, for to him all of them are alive. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. This beautiful prayer, the Serenity Prayer, is one of the best known and most loved of prayers. It speaks to the universal need that we all have to find serenity in times of chaos and uncertainty, conflict, and even war. In 1943, during the height of World War II, when peace and serenity could not be found in our world, a pastor and a professor of theology by the name of Reinhold Niebuhr delivered a sermon in a small village church in northwest Massachusetts. In the audience, there happened that day to be an Episcopal priest by the name of Howard Robbins, Dean of the Cathedral of St. John the Divine, who was visiting his family. With Niebuhr's permission, Robbins was so moved by this prayer that he was able to convince governmental authorities to include this powerful prayer in the Book of Prayers and Services for the Armed Forces, which was distributed widely to U.S. men and women serving in World War II. What Robbins likely heard that Sunday morning was the full, unedited version of the Serenity Prayer. God, give me the serenity to accept the things that cannot be changed, courage to change the things which should be changed, and the wisdom to distinguish the one from the other. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking as Jesus did, this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy for you forever in the next. Amen. Today we remember and honor these veterans, past, present, and future, who have and will accept hardship as a pathway to peace. I haven't met a soldier yet that doesn't at his or her core want peace. While it's true that there are many reasons for serving in our military, from altruistic ones to economic to being drafted, what I hear most from the veterans that I have tried to help is that they are in search of peace. Because soldiers are first to be in harm's way when they are sent on a dangerous mission, they often are torn between the desire to serve a country they love, to come back alive, and the worries that are created by leaving behind their families and their close friends. This reality highlights the first part of the Serenity Prayer, which asks for wisdom and for courage. For several years, I have served as a pastoral counselor and a mental health chaplain that reported directly to the bishop suffragan of military hospital and mental health chaplaincies. I could barely get that whole string out. One of the benefits of this relationship was that I was provided with a prayer list each year that connected me to all the servicemen and women across the globe. And do you know what the persistent prayer was from the military community? What it happened to be? Prayers for protection and for peace. Not conquest or even victory. Prayers for protection and for peace. And so very proudly, I might add, chaplains of all faiths, including the Episcopal faith, continue to serve on the front lines alongside combatants, helping them find serenity in the midst of danger and accept hardship as a pathway to peace. Another dimension of traveling through hardship to find peace is what our veterans and their families often experience when they return home from battle. As a pastoral counselor and a priest, I have had the experience of assisting those who have lost their friends, parts of their souls, and their bodies in combat. From the shores of Normandy to the Mekong Delta to the deserts of the Middle East, I've heard the confessions of those who, because of their unsettled consciences, have been tormented by the violence they endured, or have witnessed, or have committed on behalf of our country. Often their trauma is exacerbated by the lack of understanding and support they receive when they return home. They badly need to have their past expressed and acknowledged in all of its complexity and ambiguities so that they can live a more whole and holy life, to find shalom, which is beyond the absence of conflict, but a sense of peace within one's soul and in relationship with God. While it is true that everyone's spiritual journey is different, we are all serving in some kind of conflict zone because of where our culture happens to be at this present moment. Sometimes the conflict is located within our families and our intimate relationships. Sometimes the conflict is located in the workplace or schools, churches, and now even between generations. Intense conflict and even violence are present wherever there's something very significant at stake. This is the case in today's gospel lesson. The context is that Jesus is in the center of a war zone between warring parties, two large stakeholders competing to shape the future of their society. On the one hand, we have the Sadducees, who are aligned with or are members of the high priestly class. They tend to be wealthy and politically connected. They only accept the first five books of the Hebrew scriptures, known as the Torah, and because the resurrection is not explicitly mentioned there, they are completely rejecting the idea of a life after death. And then on the other hand, we have the Pharisees, who are arguably the more religious, focused on personal piety and compliance with the letter of the law. They accepted both the Torah and all the books of the prophets, and most relevant to our discussion, they believed in the possibility of life after death. So here Jesus stands in the middle of a turf battle. And actually the culture where he finds himself mired in is far more complicated when you add other competing parties, like those who followed King Herod, known as the Herodians, and the Zealots, who wanted a complete political revolution, and of course, the Roman Empire overlords. It was a hot mess, just like today's world. In a clever and deceptive ploy to trip Jesus up and tip the balance of power in the direction of the Sadducees, Jesus enters the battle zone, and with the skill of a veteran soldier, he redirects the gunfire away from himself and points them to what is most important in life and in the end, hope. Hope in a new and eternal life with God that is not limited by the customs and practices of this age. Knowing that hardship is the pathway to peace and ultimately serenity leads to heaven, Jesus begins to prepare his disciples and prepare all those who are willing to listen to receive a new identity as children of the resurrection. Jesus' mission of bringing forth his new identity is still operating in this world and cannot be destroyed by conflict and war and violence. One of the bright hopes that illumine this light comes from us from Uganda. The story of Roman Catholic Archbishop John Baptist Odama, a soldier of Christ working for peace. In a powerful book called Child, Victim, and Soldier, author Father Donald Dunson records an occasion at a confirmation service in Uganda where the archbishop, in the presence of many children who had been recruited to be soldiers, their parents, and high-ranking military personnel, said in his sermon, "Little ones, stand up. The condition that you're growing up in is wrong. You walk in fear. I'm sure when you grow up, you will ask, why did this happen? Where were your elders to help us and protect us?" Getting on his knees, the archbishop then said, "I apologize. Forgive me. I should have done more to build you a safer and more peaceful world." Amen. Please join me in prayer. God, grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace. Taking, as Jesus did, the sinful world as it is, not as we would have it, trusting that you will make all things right if we surrender to your will, so that we may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Amen.
Amen.
For more information about St. Thomas Episcopal Church, please visit our website, www.stthomasmedina.org. That's www.stthomasmedina.org.